Ring the bell. We've done it again. Golden Oak Lending has lowered rates to 4.875 fixed. Lower your monthly payment, get cash out, pay off credit cards, and best of all, make no mortgage payments for 2 months. Lock in this incredible 4.875 rate and get your cash in as little as 14 days. Visit goldenoaklending.com today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
5.81 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you love your phone, but not your carrier, just switch to T-Mobile. You can keep your phone, keep your number, and we'll help pay it off up to $800 per line. You can also use our savings calculator to compare our plans and streaming benefits against Verizon and AT&T. So, switch and keep your phone, keep your number, and keep more of your moolah at T-Mobile.com.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, port in 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
He's up all night with you.
We could do this all night.
Welcome aboard. It's Hick at Night with Ryan Hickey.
Hey. Welcome on into Hick at Night. Ryan Hickey with you right here on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you for making us a part of what is now Monday, at least in the Eastern and Central time zones. Appreciate you joining us here this evening right here on the Infinity Sports Network. We are officially down to four. Started with 68, the final four has been set. All number one seeds, all chalk. For the first time since 2008, 4-1 seeds advance to the final four in the form of Florida, Duke, Houston, and Auburn. And when you look at now the final four moving forward, now that the field is set, let's talk about who the team to beat is. Because I think you look at Florida, they have been the hottest team in all of college basketball here for the last 2 months. They have a great balance of scoring, veteran-led, obviously battle-tested winning the SEC tournament title. They are, I think, a very popular pick, at least when the brackets came out, to win it all, and they've given you very little reason to otherwise doubt them. Houston plays elite defense, and now they've found an offense to keep up with that defense. They're also healthy as well, which have been two issues in past years that have derailed the Cougs from deeper runs and maybe having a national title banner hanging in their arena. They seem like they have found the mix that finally works for them. And Auburn, you talk about being battle-tested. You talk about being consistent. I mean, they have been the best team in college basketball, really all season long. You know, they held down that number one spot for a while. They ran through and won the toughest conference in all of college basketball, won the regular season. There's a lot of reasons to feel good and optimistic that Florida could win a title, Houston could win a title, Auburn could win a title. With that said, though, I think this is Duke's title to lose. This is Duke's championship to lose because I don't know where their weakness is. I don't think they have a weakness going to San Antonio. They, to me, even though we're talking about the four best teams in college basketball remaining, they, to me, are in a class of their own compared to the other three. First and foremost, helps when you have Cooper Flagg, the best player in all of college basketball on your roster. There's a lot of different accolades and adjectives we can use to praise Cooper Flagg's play. I'm sure we heard them all, so I'll save it. What I'll say, though, is this. I thought Jay Williams this week said it perfectly. Cooper Flagg is the most well-rounded freshman Duke's ever seen. Ever seen. And he's playing like it. His game is elite. He's a great scorer. Can shoot from anywhere. Hell, he's shooting 37% from the field. Oh, I'm sorry. 37% from three. At 6'7", he's got an inside game, he's got an outside game, but it's more than just scoring a flag. This is a guy that has great court vision, really good passer, and he plays really good defense. He's a great defensive player who puts effort and hustle out there. He's everything you a coach would love to have. Insanely talented, very motivated, coachable, gives effort 24/7. Like, he truly checks every box. I don't know how anyone guards him. I don't know how anyone stops him. So Duke, first and foremost here, has the best player in college basketball. But even with that said, we saw Saturday against Alabama. Wasn't like Flag lit it up. Just 6 of 16 he shot from the field for 16 points and also added in 4 turnovers. He struggled. It was not his best game by far. But yet, despite their best player not playing his A, B, or really even C game, we're talking about Duke being the number 2 seed in the Elite Eight by 20 points. Why? Because they got more than just Flag. They are more than just having the best player in college basketball on their team. Con Knipple is probably the most underrated, most unheralded player in college basketball because everything he does well is outshined by, of course, the guy who's going to go number 1 in the NBA draft in Cooper Flagg. But this is a guy who can score, who gets buckets, who is tough, who plays the game the right way. But even beyond him, Duke has good depth. They're a physically imposing team. They're the biggest team in college basketball. This is a team that checks all the boxes. They are consistent. They are consistently dominant. And so when you look at them playing, the question keeps coming back to, what's their weakness? By the way, they're not just an offensive team. They play great defense as well. This is a team that we just saw hold Alabama, the number 1 offense in the country, after their 3-point barrage and historic 3-point performance, shooting performance they had against BYU in the Sweet 16. We saw them held by Duke to their second lowest point total of the season with 65 points. Duke is not just an offensive scoring machine. They are elite defensively as well. They are very well-rounded. So again, I ask you, where's their weakness? Where is the area you can point to and say, ah, that's where Duke is susceptible. That's where Houston can get them. That's where Auburn can get them. That's where Florida has a chance to win the game. Where is it? I can't find their weakness. And for all the good we talked about the other three teams, I think there's a lot of good there. I think the other three teams remaining do have a weakness, do have an area that can be exploited by the Blue Devils and lead them to a title. Like, you look at Florida, for all the talent they have been a little streaky, and they have been careless with the basketball. Part of the reason why UConn was hanging around till the bitter end, part of the reason why they found themselves in a 9-point deficit late against Texas Tech and needed a miracle and really got lucky that Tech missed their free throws as to why they're still alive is because they've been sloppy with the basketball. 41 turnovers in their last 3 games. They have given other teams second, third opportunities. Those teams have capitalized. You do that to Duke, you will not be moving on the way Florida has last 3 games. Houston, for how great they are defensively and how great they are shooting the 3, their 2-point shooting is iffy, to say the least. Inside the arc, they are shooting just 48.5%. That's good enough to rank in the country 281st. Not great. Not great if you can't hit some mid-range jumpers. Can't hit your layups. That's a problem. Not to mention, with the style of play that Houston has, they are not prone to getting to the free throw line a lot. You know, they don't really cause defenses tension in the sense of fouling and getting to the line for free points. So Houston's a team that with their aggressive defense fouls a good amount, but never really gets other teams in foul trouble. That's a little concerning. Again, especially when you're trying to face a team like Duke and take them down, one of the ways to minimize the Blue Devils, even though they have good depth, is get some of their star guys in foul trouble. Houston doesn't have the ability to do that. That's not how their offensive identity is built. And for Auburn, I mean, first and foremost, we just saw the Jahni Broome injury. That's concerning. Well, he able to come back in the game and at least finish, I put in air quotes. This is a guy who fell down in the second half against Michigan State and hyperextended his elbow to where his right arm was taped up, and everything he did after going back to the training room, getting it looked at, getting it taped up, everything he did with his left arm, rebounded, passed, he didn't do anything righty, high fives, all lefty. That right arm is giving him problems. He'll get healthier between now and Saturday, but if he's not 100%, good luck trying to beat Florida, let alone beat Duke with your best player. And I think behind Flag, Broome's been the second best player in college basketball this year. So he's not going to be at 100%. And this is also an Auburn team that has kind of been lackadaisical at times, that has played with their food, has kept teams around longer than they should. I mean, Michigan State, they should have buried. They did not. They allowed the Spartans to hang around. They never really got within arm's length, but still kept them around just enough to make it interesting, more interesting than it should have been. You're down by 9 to Michigan about halfway through the second half, like before a furious comeback, but they have put themselves in some situations where maybe you're not going to get as lucky coming back and beating Duke as you were beating Michigan. So I think the other three teams, while they are, I think, add up with Duke, the four best teams in college basketball all season long, the other three teams outside of Duke have a weakness, have an area that's a question mark. Where is it with Duke? 888-710-4ISN. Where is the weakness with Duke? Why should Duke not be considered right now the title favorite going down to San Antonio? I don't see it. As someone who picked Houston that hopes my bracket is right, I look at this match and I'm like, oh my God, I don't know anyone right now beating Duke. If you think you can name it, 888-710-4ISN. I want you to listen to John Shire, who after the game on Saturday against Alabama did react and talk about what it means to make at least his and Duke's first Final Four since 2022.
Couldn't be more excited and happy for these guys to my left. I think Tyrese and I, the feeling of losing last year at this point, every decision we made, everything we did was to get back here and then have the team have the opportunity to advance to the promised land, to go to San Antonio, to go to the Final Four.
And they did it. Good on John Chime. That's another thing, too. Because I think you could maybe before the tournament, before the season, you could have pointed to Duke's coaching as a weakness. Well, they got the players. There's no doubt about the roster being good enough. Was the coaching good enough? Is John Shire the guy to truly succeed Mike Krzyzewski and get Duke into the Final Four and winning championships on a yearly basis? And I think right now, that answer is yes. There's no doubt to think about John Shire's coaching ability, who's done a great job all season long, has kept his guys motivated, has kept them consistent as well. I think Duke, if you could have pointed to any weakness that they had, it would have been on the coaching staff, and I think even John Shire himself and the rest of his staff have done a great job this year at making sure that question is answered, or that answer in terms of if there are a concern or a weakness being no. Look around, man. Coaching, the roster, how they're playing, their style of play, their size, their physicality, their speed, their shot making, their talent, whatever you want to look at. I can't find a weakness for Duke. And that's why for me, they are, even though we're going to a Final Four, the four best teams left in college basketball, to me, it's Duke and everybody else. It's their title to lose. 888-710-4ISN. 888-410-ISN. That is a phone number to call. If you think there's a team right now that is better than Duke, that you have favored to win the title now that we're looking at four onesies remaining, tell me who, tell me why. 888-710-4ISN. Also, you can tweet me, Ryan_Hickey3 on Twitter. Here's what we'll do. We'll take a break right now. We'll break a little early. When we do come back, I want to get your thoughts on the tournament now as the Final Four is set, but also when we return. I think the Steelers should make a move at quarterback. And it's not to sign a guy that we all assume. There's another quarterback out there, I think, that works even better for Pittsburgh than one Aaron Rodgers. I'll tell you who it is when we do return. This is Ryan Hickey with you right here on the Infinity Sports Network.
This is Hick at Night. Here's Ryan Hickey.
This is crazy to me. So, one of my good friends, Rooks, is getting married here in the summertime. So, next weekend is his bachelor party. This means, number one, unfortunately, I will not be here next week. Tough timing, two bachelor parties in 3 weeks. The good news is, this is the last time I'm taking off for a while, so I hate missing the show here on Sundays. So, after next week, I'll be here for a while. So, you can get your fix of Hick at Night here for the foreseeable future going forward. But we are going to Scottsdale, Arizona next weekend for Rooks' bachelor party. And maybe this is just me here, but like looking at like, you know, flying there, flying back, especially for a bachelor party, there's going to be a lot of drinking and such. I'm like, man, as soon as the weekend's over, get me the hell home. That's kind of like me in general. As soon as something's done, I just want to get out of there and go home as quick as possible and just kind of be in my own surroundings. And so we're trying to kind of, you know, in this group text tonight, we're kind of trying to coordinate rides and such. There's 20 people going. I've never been on a bachelor party that big. It's insane. So we're trying to figure out rides to the airport, going there, coming back. And so people are posting what time they're leaving. Again, this is Scottsdale, Arizona. Most people going on this trip are East Coast based, whether it's New York, whether it's D.C., Pittsburgh, mostly flying across the country here to go. And I'm looking at some of these times that some of my friends are leaving. 11:51 p.m. Sunday. 10:35 p.m. Sunday. 11:51 p.m. I could not imagine. I'm flying out at noon, Arizona time. I'm getting the hell out of Dodge. I could not imagine going on a bachelor party, drinking all weekend, kind of waking up in that fog and hungover, and then having to take a 4-5 hour flight, red eye, home. That sounds like hell on earth. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just my anxiety of like kind of when the weekend's over, I just want to get home. I could not imagine, number one, hanging around all day waiting for that flight to come. And then number two, boarding that flight that late. Oh, I feel like that would set you back like a week. I would need a week off. If that was the case where you're flying in, you land probably what? I mean, if you're leaving at 11:30.
Plus the time difference,
right,
too.
You're
that's
leaving,
like, what, three?
3 hours.
Yeah, so if they got in, probably come in at like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, right?
But think about it. So if you fly, right, let's say you're going from,
because
a lot
like
of these
that.
Guys are D.C.-based. You're going from Arizona to D.C., you leave at 11:30 Arizona time.
Mm-hmm.
That's 2:30 DC time.
Right.
So you're leaving at 2:30. You're probably land, let's say 6:37 a.m.
Yeah.
So Monday's already shot.
Right.
And then you're going to sleep all day Monday. Can you fall asleep on Monday night after you sleep all day Monday? I have no idea.
Yeah.
You feel like crap. You're still trying to adjust.
Yeah, you're better off like flying earlier in the day, because you can, if you land around, I mean, not that even landing at 10:30, 11 o'clock is any better, but at least, like,
you get someone on a normal
routine. Like, okay, I can get back. I can get home. I'll go to bed. I can get to bed. I can, maybe I'll take off Monday for work, but still.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I would definitely take off Monday for work, but yeah, I've done that red eye before. Like, I flew to Utah not too long ago. The same thing, like, try to take a flight in the middle of the day. Because then, like, you get back, cause, like, same thing, like, we took around
It
was like a 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock flight. We probably didn't, got back to New York, it was like 12 o'clock, like, it was midnight. And you're just like, wow, like, it's so different. Because then we took a really early flight leaving here in New York to go to Utah, But he got there at like...
Right, you gained the hours.
You gained the hours, so, you know, you didn't really... No, oh my, that's crazy. Leaving at 11:30 at night on Sunday. But, I mean, God forbid, the flight gets delayed.
That's...
And then, like...
I didn't think about that.
Like, a delayed flight. They're pushing it back even more.
Oh, God. I had the Sunday scares ready for him.
I mean, that gives me anxiety. I'm not even going on this trip.
Oh my God!
You're smart. Get out at like noon or 1 o'clock. You can cut back here, you know, late evening. You'll still be tired, but at least you can go to bed and somewhat like
right. Try to get back on somewhat of a routine
right.
Versus. Oof. I mean, maybe they could sleep on the plane. I don't know, but God bless them. Yeah, that's. Oh, I got the chills. Nice little tease here for the last segment of the show, Sunday Scaries. But boy, oh boy, let me tell you an early Sunday scary story. 11:30 flight Sunday night after a bachelor party cross country. Woo! Woo! Scary. It's Ryan Hickey with right here on the Infinity Sports Network. All right. So why the Steelers and Aaron Rodgers don't yet have a deal done is completely befuddling to me. It's March 31st now. How would they not have a deal signed when both need each other? Like, you look at the Steelers, they need a quarterback. They missed out in free agency in getting a QB. Could have had Sam Darnold, couldn't get the deal done. Every other option is gone. They wanted to re-sign or at least keep one of Fields, Russ. Didn't do that 0-for-2. And now you're looking at the QB field, at least in free agency, it's basically Rodgers or bust. But it's not like if you're the Steelers, you can say, oh, well, we're going to, you know, draft a quarterback and go the draft and develop route. You traded for DK Metcalf, which signals you're trying to win right now. You know, you are building your team is already built to compete in 2025 and beyond. So you're not going to go, oh, we're going to play the long game here. We're going to draft a quarterback and see how it goes. You need a veteran quarterback to run your offense here in 2025. There's only one option you have right now, ostensibly. It's Aaron Rodgers. Why wouldn't you get the deal done? If you're Rodgers, you have no other option. Vikings said no. No other team has even so much as looked at you for the most part here. Giants signed every veteran quarterback under the sun that they could. There's no room for you there in New York, the only other team that maybe wanted your services. So it's the Steelers or bust. Yet, here we are, as both sides desperately need each other with no deal done. It makes no sense. But the longer this drags on for, the more this drags out, the more the Steelers look like cucks. As Rodgers, who I think is clearly holding out hope that either the Vikings change their mind and call him back, or a quarterback, God forbid, gets hurt, and all of a sudden a playoff team that had high hopes now need a quarterback, here's Aaron Rodgers, he's clearly waiting for a better option right now than Pittsburgh. So I think it's time for Pittsburgh to put their foot down. Say, enough's enough, screw you. You don't want us, we don't want you. And the good news is for Pittsburgh, they do indeed have another option. It's pick up the phone, calling the Falcons, and trading for Kirk Cousins. That's what they should do. Don't wait on Rodgers. Call Kirk, trade for him, and get him to Pittsburgh ASAP. Because if you're the Steelers, I think the ceiling with a Kirk Cousins-led offense is higher than an Aaron Rodgers-led offense. I think at this point, Kirk is better than Aaron. So the fact that they're even wasting their time with Rodgers, to me, it doesn't make much sense. Go get a quarterback that can make you better in 2025 than Aaron could. I get it was an ugly ending for Atlanta, for Kirk last year. But look at this. Kirk at least has some highs last year. He had a half a season that was impressive. And the Steelers would want first 9 games of the year last year. Falcons went 6-3. Big reason, Kirk Cousins' play. 17 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. He still has some juice left in the tank. That's a guy who played well. Atlanta averaged nearly 25 points per game the first half of the season. Now I get it. The last 5 games, the bottom completely fell out. He sucked. Got benched. I thought got benched, honestly, later than he should have with how bad he played. But yes, he crash-landed, no doubt about it. But at least there were some highs that got off the ground. Go back to last year with Aaron Rodgers. Is he doing anything like Kirk did with 17 touchdowns in a 9-game stretch? averaging nearly 25 points per game. That Jets offense was putrid last year. Maybe outside of week three against the Patriots on a Thursday night game where Aaron and the offense look good, what other point this season did the Jets offense look comparable? Competent. I couldn't tell you one time. Can you tell me one time the Jets offense looked anything remotely similar to what the Falcons offense looked like under Kirk Cousins? I couldn't find you a stretch. I couldn't find you two or three games that match what Kirk did in Atlanta. I know the ending was bad, but when you include the crash landing of the last five games from Kirk Cousins, the Falcons with Kirk still had more passing yards per game than Aaron Rodgers-led Jets offense did. And the Falcons averaged more points per game of Kirk Cousins running that ship than the Jets did all season with Aaron Rodgers. The ceiling with Kirk is higher. This team is better with Kirk compared to Aaron. And I think you got to feel even better. I know they both are coming off Achilles tears, but I think you got to feel even better if you're Pittsburgh of, okay, for a style of play, Kirk will be even better next year, fully removed from the Achilles, and you got to think his consistency will be a little bit better next season. So why wait if you're Pittsburgh? Why play this game of honestly looking like a joke? This is supposed to be a proud franchise. One of the tent poles of the NFL. The Rooneys are supposed to be an example of what good ownership looks like. It's an absolute embarrassment that they're sitting here waiting for Aaron Rodgers, begging, pleading Aaron Rodgers to pick their team as he's basically, clearly, waiting for any option better than Pittsburgh. Gain control of your organization. I mean, Mike Tomlin today, down the owners' meetings in Florida, spoke to reporters. He was asked if there was a deadline for basically when you were cut off waiting for Rodgers. And this is Mike Tomlin's answer. Quote, not to my knowledge. You know, I don't know that we've approached it from a deadline perspective. Certainly, as I mentioned, you'd like it to have settled circumstances, but, you know, deadlines don't often bring that to a head, end quote. Just put your foot down. What are you doing this? Why are you playing this game of waiting for this guy to hopefully choose you when you can go out and control your own fate? Go trade for Kirk. At this point, I mean, his trade value is nothing. I don't buy what the Falcons are saying in terms of talking tough and keeping Kirk and needing a good offer. They're desperate. Fifth round pick, sixth round pick. They would trade Kirk for anything. They just get that contract off their books. So I think you can get Kirk for a cheap draft price. I think you can also, with this contract, by the way, get out from under it after this year. So you're not committing, if you don't want to, more than 1 year to Kirk Cousins. Give up the late round draft capital. Get a better quarterback in here, who, by the way, provides less headaches than Aaron Rodgers would. For all his faults, say what you want about Kirk, the guy is beloved, at least when he's playing well. But like before the bottom fell out, Kirk had, you know, he was doing the swag surf. Him and all the fans are swag surfing after games. He's got all the chains on. There is buy-in there. If you're Pittsburgh and you want some juice, I think fans would buy into Kirk. I don't know who's buying into Aaron Rodgers. Not at this stage of his career. Not with the distractions that he has. Not with the me-first attitude that he brings. And certainly not the play on the field that we've seen. Go get Kirk. You're going to get similar results anyway. The Steelers are going nowhere next year. They're a borderline playoff team. I would say right now, I don't think they make the playoffs with Kirk or with Aaron Rodgers. But at least Kirk gives you the better chance to make the postseason. And then number two, I think gives you the best shot to run the best possible offense you can. Get Kirk, say goodbye to Aaron, and get going here for 2025. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Who is the better option for the Steelers at quarterback here in 2025? Is it Aaron Rodgers or is it Kirk Cousins? 888-710-4ISN. Let's go out to Arizona and talk to Al. What's up, Al?
I can't believe I'm actually on the phone. I waited for an hour. I had to hang up. Now I waited again. So I'm happy I'm on.
Thanks for your patience, Al. Appreciate it, buddy.
I want to share something. Let's just talk like stats and facts and figure out what you think is the best thing to do
here.
I'll say one quick thing. I'm a Bears fan. I thought when the Steelers traded for Justin Fields and they didn't pick up his fifth-year option was a horrible decision, and it's costing them now because they could have him for $23 million for one season.
You know what, Al? I forgot about that. Good point. Very good point,
buddy. Okay, so last year, Aaron Rodgers is one of six quarterbacks to throw for 3,897 yards and 28 touchdowns or greater. One of six, okay? Mm-hmm. 28 touchdowns. Before the season, someone said Aaron Rodgers is coming back from his injuries and to throw for 3,900 yards and 28 touchdowns. Would you be happy with that? Of course they would. What they're not paying attention to is in the first six, seven games, their kicker lost two or three of their games. He missed field goals, missed extra points. It destroyed their entire season. Robert Saleh got injured or got fired. He got fired. Before he was fired, their defense was giving up 17 points a game. After he was fired, they gave up just under 25. So the offense had to play against the defense for the rest of the season, and they were two or three games, you know, further back than they should have been. So it's not totally on Aaron Rodgers. I got to tell you from my heart, Aaron Rodgers is clearly the better option for the Steelers. I think he's so selfish to put the team through what he's doing. If he's doing it, we don't know behind the scenes what's going on. I think he's selfish as can be to be causing the Steelers to have to suffer through this where they got to figure out what to do in their draft. I don't even think they could even trade for Cousins because of the salary cap. They only have $33 million right now going into the draft. I don't even know if they can do it, make it work. It's not worth it.
Al, they can. You can make a lot of things work.
Yeah.
But look, part of my plea of them trading for Cousins is exactly the last part you said. Rodgers is very selfish. And again, it's kind of one of those, and appreciate the call, Al. Thank you for your patience, sir. Mike Tomlin said it a lot. He said, we want volunteers, not hostages. And what he says, what he means, I should say, when he says that is, he wants guys that want to be there. He wants Pittsburgh Steelers. Guys that want to be a Steeler, want to give it their all. What are the Steelers right now? Are they the volunteer or are they the hostage? Feels like to me they're getting held hostage by a guy in Aaron Rodgers who can't make up his mind. Who, you make a good point, Al, what the hell is the draft going to be? Should they draft Jackson Dart? Should they draft someone else to win right now? No idea. When are they going to find out? Who the hell knows? I mean, Rodgers, there's no reason not to sign now, so what makes you think that he's going to sign by the time the draft comes? I have no reason to believe it. But to your point about Rodgers, you want to look at some of the numbers there. 28 touchdowns, just 30, I think he was 7th in passing yards in 2024. But like, you look at how the games played out. You look at his production. Well, maybe the end looks good, like the numbers in whole look good. Watch him on a game-to-game basis. He did not elevate the Jets' offense. He did not make them better. Part of the reason Robert Saleh got fired was because of the slow start the Jets had. Why? Because the offense wasn't very good. They lost the game 10-9 to the Broncos earlier in the season. Threw three picks against the Vikings in London. Sure, the defense got a little worse as Robert Saleh was fired, but that offense got off to a slow start when they lost a stretch of nine out of 10 games. The offense averaged less than 20 points. They're not very good. Rodgers' passer rating is one of the worst in the league. Like, this has not been a guy that's elevated and played well when you needed him to. He's really struggled. And that's not a guy that I think right now has a lot of juice left in the tank. I would much rather take my chances. I think both are gambles, right? Can we acknowledge that? I'm not sitting here telling you Kirk is the perfect answer or is going to get them to be a Super Bowl contender. That's not what I'm saying. Both are options are pretty dire, if we're being real here. So now you're picking the best of the worst. I think the best of the worst option for the Steelers is Kirk Cousins. I think he gives you a little bit more juice. I think he's better at this stage of his career. And I think he'll be better for the locker room. Better fit in that offense with how they want to run it. I would go after Kirk if I'm the Steelers. I'd rather trade for a QB than wait around for Aaron Rodgers to finally make his decision of where he wants to play.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We'll get your thoughts when we do return as well. Sunday scares, including, I just told you before about flying and how I think, like, ending the trip, ending vacation with a night flight to me is one of the worst things possible. Well, I have even a worse flying story for, unfortunately, passengers trying to go over to China. This is a delay that will blow your mind.
This is Hick at Night. Here's your host, Ryan Hickey.
If you have missed any part of the show, check out the Hick at Night podcast feed, Night spelled N-I-T-E, available wherever you do get your pods, along with YouTube as well. You should be watching the show that was re-streamed live every single Sunday night right there on the Infinity Sports Network YouTube channel. You can also check out my own YouTube channel as well, Ryan Hickey. Just type that in. Easy to find on the tube. A lot of videos from this show posted there as well. All righty. We are at the end of the show, which I know is sad in and of itself. All good things must come to an end. But that also means we are now closer to the work week. It's Monday for most of you listening, or close to it, which means anxiety. The scaries do kick in here as another work week is about to start. So, to brighten your late Sunday, early Monday, make going to work a little bit more tolerable, let's tell you a few people who have it worse than you.
The weekend is winding down. Hey, Ryan, who's got the Sunday scaries this week?
As a reminder, this portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam and just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. That is checkethos.com. So, I told you before, nightmare, right? Nightmare flight scenario is flying late night after a long weekend out with the fellas. No, thank you. This may be worse, right? There are few things worse in life than flight delays. Here's one time a few years ago going up to beautiful Madison, Wisconsin, where I was stuck on the tarmac for 2.5 hours because, ready for this? The pilot wasn't there. He was delayed getting in. So in order to save fuel, they had to shut off the plane. It was in late August, early September, so it was hot as hell. We're sitting on the tarmac roasting. There's very little water, no AC. It was awful. It was awful. So we're all there, right? We can all agree. Not many things worse than flight delays. This may be the flight delay from hell. So this is on a United flight. And by the way, thank you and shout outs to Mike Barnstein, listener of the show, did tweet me this story. I had missed it. So thank you, Mike, for contributing to the show. This story is yours. Props to you for finding it. United flight from LA to Shanghai. Supposed to be nonstop 14-hour flight. Takeoff, no problem. We're not sitting on any runways. We're not delayed. Okay, we're taking off as we should. Great. 2 hours in. Pilots gets on the loudspeaker, tells the passengers, we got to turn around. 2 hours and we got to turn around. And I'm sure your first thought is, oh my God, we got something mechanically wrong. Maybe there's a sick passenger, right? Your mind goes to a pretty bad spot. Well, the pilot explains why they got to turn the bird around. He gets over the PA. Yeah, this is your pilot speaking. We got to turn this bird around. We have a little issue here where I forgot my passport. Thanks for your patience. They turn the plane around 2 hours in because the pilot, the responsible one, forgot
his passport. So this was a flight that landed, or I'm sorry, that took off at 2 o'clock LA time. They diverted to San Francisco. They landed in San Francisco at 5 o'clock. I don't believe they deplaned. So they're on the plane still. They take off then from San Francisco, still with the end destination of Shanghai, at 8:30. And land 12:45 Shanghai time. 6 hours behind schedule. 14-hour flight nonstop. 6 hours behind schedule. Bunch of delays. You're almost on a plane for 24 hours. 24 hours. All because the pilot forgot his passport. I mean, I don't think it's drastic to say that pilot should be fired. You forget your passport and you cause that much inconvenience, you should lose your job. Because there are few things people tolerate less than flight delays, especially when it is controlled. Just bring your passport. I don't even know how you get through customs. I know it's different for pilots. How do you even get on the plane without knowing for sure I have my passport? And maybe the worst part. Actually, no, this is the flight delay is in and of itself is pretty bad. But you may think, okay, well, was there at least anything given to the passengers here to help them deal with this long flight? The big thank you that United gave their passengers for their patience was 2 meal vouchers that valued $30. $30 in bad airport food meal vouchers to withstand a 6-hour delay and sit on a tarmac for 3 hours because the pilot that was supposed to fly you to an international city forgot the truly, outside of literally himself, forgot the only other thing he needed to bring, a passport.
That seems like a fair trade.
You talk about hell on earth.
I mean, my God. I mean, if I was the pilot, I would actually be embarrassed. I'm like, yeah, I'm actually the pilot idiot of the year. I forgot my passport, and we have to turn around. Like, if I was boarding off the plane, I wouldn't even say thank you. I would be like, you're an idiot. And you wasted my time.
I think every single passenger should have jumped him. Honestly. If you can't bring your passport, how can you be trusted to get these people every single trip that you fly there safely? I mean, what's next? You're going to miss the gate? You're going to miss the right runway to land on? Can't bring your passport. Opens up a giant world of trust issues that, man, I think that are just unrecoverable. That will do it for this show. Hell of an end to the show here. Big thank you to Jack Carty for producing. A big thank you to you. Thank you for making us, as always, a part of your Sunday. Don't go anywhere. Pat Boyle is up next. This has been Ryan Hickey with right here on the Infinity Sports Network. Check out the Hick at Night podcast, Night spelled N-I-T-E, and check me out on YouTube here as well. I will talk to you in 2 weeks. Have a great time between now and then. Stay safe, be well, and of course, be sane.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.